This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4 o'clock, Usual Suspects ESPN, as we've got one in the books, two to go, plenty more show. We've covered the gamut on a lot of sports topics in the first hour. Glenn wanted us to kind of backtrack on some Astros stuff. He's been waiting a long time. We appreciate it. Glenn, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Well, actually, whoever said the Astros, that's not exactly what I wanted to talk about. First off, hello, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's going on, Glenn?
What's up, man?
Barry, you ain't had no more pooper peeper pictures, have you?
No. None okay, since then. Good. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I heard that. And pizza seeds.
Yeah.
It was so cute that day, too. It wasn't cute. I understand. But anyhow, I was going to go on the Cleveland thing. I mean, yeah, I know it should have been inevitable that it was over with the other night, but if anybody's ever going to do this 3-0 and come back, it's going to be a LeBron James-led team. And what they did, breaking both those records, man, that was just absolutely – I mean, well, they broke the record in points in first half, and I think they broke the record of threes in the game, didn't they? I'm not positive on
yes,
that,
they
but
did.
I believe so.
Yep, you're yeah. right. Yep, in the playoffs.
And,
yep.
yeah, like you said, they may very well be over with right now, but I just loved it. I mean – like most people, I thought sure it was going to be over with also, but man, that was just awesome.
So you're rooting for Cleveland, huh?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see KD get his title. And yeah, that team, they should get it. It should have been a sweep. But I'm always going to root for LeBron. I mean, there's just something about him. He's just great. I mean, that's point blank. And he had help. And he needs that help the rest of the way. Like y'all was saying earlier, if he'd had it in the first three games, it would have been a whole hell of a lot different. Although Golden State is definitely got it going on when they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But I don't know. I don't think they're going to go all the way. But still, I mean, I just love that game. I mean, it was – I listened to it on y'all station, and it was just amazing.
I mean – Glenn, I'll tell you this, and as a LeBron fan, I totally understand it from your perspective, but the good news is, from an NBA perspective, is it's never good to see the front man for your whole league go down that way. And the fact that they came out and proved that on any given night, they have a lot of talent. And LeBron, look, we're talking about MVP of the series. It should be Kevin Durant if they win it, but you could argue from a losing perspective. LeBron's numbers, for all these people criticizing LeBron just because they don't win at the end of the night, it's not his fault. I mean, his numbers are
exactly. The roof. It ain't his fault. You got that right.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens tonight, but I think it'll be a different environment and a different story. But we always appreciate the call, Glenn. Appreciate you checking in. Now, don't be a stranger. It's been a while, but we do appreciate it because you got a little passion when you call in. I always love that.
Have you seen this story about – because we were earlier, you were asking me if I did Just for Men down low. And it made me think of this story that came up. Oh, by the way, somebody said rubbing alcohol will take it off real easy. So I will try that next time I get punked by my wife.
Could sting you, too. Leave you a little rash.
Yeah, someone also said that a buddy of his said that try Nair on your beard. Friend of his told him it worked. He missed a week of work because the hair came off, but he had a beard that was a red rash on his face. Ouch.
Yeah, they always say with that Nair stuff, don't mess with, like,
I'm not putting that on my face.
Or sensitive skin areas. Yeah.
Hell no. So somebody asked this on the text lines about Amber Rose and, you know, what our preference was. But if you don't know, Amber Rose is trying to bring back the Bush, so to speak.
Yeah, I saw a tweet on that complete with a picture.
And I saw the tweet of it. You a fan? It's not as crazy. It's not like 70s crazy hairy.
What'd Nick call it? Elevated?
Elevated
it Bush. It's definitely elevated. Right
now. No, it's not terrible. I have it pulled up right now, and I'm looking at it.
But you've only got one angle.
One, she's definitely harp shaped. she's hourglass figure for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you only have the one angle of it. It's not bad. It's more 80s than 70s. You know what I mean? But so she's trying to bring back that look. You know what I mean? Having a little bit of hair down there. So the text question was, you you prefer? What is your preference? Do you have a preference?
Well-groomed.
Okay. Well-groomed? With you.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be all wild. I don't want you to look like you have Don King and a scissor lock. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want...
I want it to be nice, trimmed up.
I don't want
up.
Dwayne from What's Happening down there, you know?
Yeah, and I don't want it, like, I don't know, bald doesn't bother me too much. It's a little weird sometimes.
Me, Nick
like,
likes
on
it.
On a petite girl, like a that's
a little scary.
Weird. Yeah, that makes it a little weird. Like, I'm, yeah, no.
No, now you're taking like them out at Oregon State.
On a big girl.
Yeah. Well, now, and a big girl factors, Nick, so where are you on that?
I know you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that.
No, I wouldn't know.
But you did you not say last week that you preferred nothing at all?
I did say that.
And then you went and had
so you like it smooth.
You did, but then you bring up this porn star that's got it elevated.
Riley Reed.
No, I told her that. I told you guys that she was, I felt like she was bringing it back, and I think she was doing a good job of it.
Okay.
So I don't mind what Amber Rose is doing.
Yeah,
but
it's
I
not
don't
bad.
Prefer it. You know what I mean?
If you want to see it, you can go follow her on Twitter or go check out her Twitter. The Real Amber Rose. That's D-A. The Real Amber
Instead
Rose.
Instead of D-U-H?
Yeah.
I've got a dumb question. How did she get famous again? Because I really don't
I was
know.
Just going to say this. She kind of followed that whole Kardashian.
I really don't know who she was linked to. I really don't even remember.
She's somebody's baby mama. She was linked to James Harden and was coming to Rockets games for a while. She was on Dances with the Stars.
Was she?
Yep.
I didn't know she was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, recently. Not this last one, the one before it, I think.
So she's a model and actress.
Sure she is.
See, they always get that to Wiki, right? Well, Wiki's going to do that to anybody that...
Paris Hilton supposedly was, too.
Yeah, so she's linked to Kanye West.
Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, that's where I first heard about her.
That's the baby mama, Wiz Khalifa.
There was some drama there, right?
Yeah. There's continuing, I think. It's kind of on again, off again, but it heats up every now and then.
Okay. Yeah. And she's been in some films. There's the classic Better Off Alone in 2008. She was in The Hills, RuPaul's Drag Race, Master of the Mix, School Dance, Selfies, Sister Code. Oh, she was on Blackish. Okay.
No, she got fame. When people started recognizing her was a Young Jeezy video with Kanye West.
Okay.
It was a hip-hop video that
she was on America's Next Top Model this year, Dancing with the Stars last year, The Amber Rose Show, The Eric Andre Show. So she's done some things.
Well, good for her.
There's a whole section on her wiki called Slut Walk, and I don't know what that says because there's a lot of words and I can't read it. But that might be worth a read. What's weird, though, is for her, because she prefers the Sinead O'Connor up top. Like, yeah, she keeps her hair very short, which...
The Barry Laminack.
Okay. But I don't know that I want more hair down there than up there.
Good point.
You know what I mean?
I got it.
So when it, like in that picture that you see in Wiki, which is really short.
Right.
It's like shaved. Right?
And blonde.
On her head. Right?
Yeah. 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 They don't have the crotch shot. Not on Wiki.
No, because Lamont put it on Twitter the other day.
Oh, her the, pube shot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But can I ask, Wiz Khalifa? I know he's been around for a while.
Yeah.
But is he... like really, really well off.
Yeah, he's made a lot of money.
I think that one song,
Black and Yellow, was the hit.
I know Black and Yellow, which he converted to Green and Yellow for his favorite team, which is the Packers. But the weird thing, the reason why I asked that is when the Rockets were playing the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, and we were staying, and they were all superstitious about the hotels because we had blown leads in the first two games, so they had us staying at the real famous one, the Beverly Wilshire, I think. And Wiz Khalifa was there getting ready for one of the award shows. Mm-hmm. He had parked out front with Wiz-type license plates, a McLaren, and two other like exotic sports cars. And the valet was saying that the total value of the three cars was in...
He probably rented
like
them.
The most... he had his personalized plates on.
Yeah,
him.
He probably adds them.
But I'm saying, and they sat there. We were there.
Ain't
for
nobody
like,
balling like that.
We were there for like 3 days, and they sat there out front of the valet stand for three straight days because they were like, "Oh, Wiz Khalifa's staying here," and we're like, "Damn, that's." I mean, those three cars alone. I don't want to misquote the numbers, but some ridiculous amount of money. That's why I asked how much he's worth.
Well, Hefe said,
"Go ahead."
Hefe said that she was known as the bald chick Kanye was dating, and then Wiz Khalifa's baby had Wiz Khalifa's baby
mama. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mike said, guaranteed to take off the Just for Men, use ladies' nail polish remover. I think that would burn on my face.
I think that would work,
too.
Though.
I don't think that would feel good.
My fear about this whole ladies are, you know, growing out the hair down there is inevitably I fear that the trend is going to move to, like, what they're doing now. Like, I just don't want to see weave down there because then they're going to start getting weave and tracks, and it's like, what? I'm already dealing with it up top. That's not your real hair either place now. I don't want to see that. How many more horses are going to have to die for you to look like you were born in the 70s? Stop it.
There's something else that could be said there. I'm just staying away from it. All right, so how much is too much when you think about how much you'd pay for courtside seats tonight to tonight's Warriors-Cavaliers game? Because I'm about to tell you that the record was just broken for how much somebody paid for two tickets courtside to tonight's game. So put your thinking caps on and think how much would you pay and how much is too much. We got plenty more to go. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel, as we roll through hour number two of the three-hour show, kind of bobbing and weaving through a lot of topics today. Pretty good.
Somebody said they're okay with a little Bush, just not Chewbacca down there. If it yells at you like that, then you have a problem. Teeth.
So it's safe to say, as long, if it's there and it's controlled, like it's not out of whack, most guys are okay with it.
I think so.
Most guys are happy to be down there regardless, so they're not going to be too picky. Let's just be honest
Touché,
about it.
Sir. Touché, sir.
Yeah, let's just
sir.
Be honest about it. Did you see, by the way, that my man Eddie Lacy made his latest weight?
What's up with that?
Weigh in?
How much did he weigh?
So the last time he had to get down below 255.
Uh-huh.
All right. So today, and I got to get the fun with numbers because I've actually, in doing this, I've uncovered several other clauses in contracts somewhat like this that are weird and entertaining. Unfortunately, our internet is just absolutely sucking
things. All right. Well, while you're looking at that, someone
Sorry. So Eddie Lacy weighed 250 or less on Monday, receiving another $55,000 bonus from the Seahawks. If he meets all the benchmarks leading up to the start of the regular season, he'll earn an extra $385,000 of his $2.865 million base salary just by keeping his fat ass in decent shape.
Nice. I wish Gal would pay me to not be fat.
First of all, you're not like, fat, which here's, we
always that's what I'm saying. I wish he would pay me to not be fat anymore. Like, here's an extra $50, Barry. Stay slim.
And let me throw this in to you. So he has the potential to make $385,000 more than his base 2.8, right? Then he signed a deal with the P90X company to be the guiding force to him losing this weight for like $500,000 to $1 million. So he's making almost an extra mil.
Damn.
Just to stay in shape to play professional sports.
Damn.
What the hell?
They must really believe in him if they're going through all that.
Evidently, the Packers didn't. They sent his fat ass to a rummage sale and said, get out of town.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so I was looking at this, and it was crazy because ESPN then started putting up some, like, crazy contract stipulations. Some guys get off on the fact that they get bonuses based on their number and their area code. Like Darrell Revis' signing bonus was $14,024,212. The 24 for his number, the 212 for the New York area code. And they really wanted it. I mean, that kind of stuff is stupid.
Yeah, that's real stupid.
But like MJ, Michael Jordan back in the day, because everybody knew that he was so hyper-competitive that he couldn't turn down a game. And in the NBA and in all professional sports, we remember the Jeff Kent stipulations that they're real careful about what you can and can't do when you're a professional athlete on a team in terms of possibly Madison Bumgarner this year because of the he got hurt non-sports related. And so there are clauses like this. Jordan's clause was called the love of the game clause. That meant wherever, whenever, against whomever, from the YMCA to any pickup game along the way, he was allowed to play basketball at any time, and even if he got hurt, it didn't matter. But in 1999, there's stuff like this. Stefan Schwartz of the English Premier League, for all you soccer fans out there, one of Schwartz's advisors had purchased tickets on the first commercial spacecraft to the moon in 2002. So his contract was worded that said it would not cover any injuries or worse suffered while bodily going where no civilian had ever gone before. So alas, he was not allowed to go into space.
Why, what?
Remember when, was it Sir Richard Branson? Branson has got that spacecraft.
Right.
And I guess some other people.
The Virgin Mobile guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So evidently one of the agents or consultants to this Stefan Schwartz had purchased two tickets on that on a spacecraft like that to be one of the first people to go up into space.
Okay.
And he was contemplating taking Schwartz. Well, the team said, you're not doing that. So we have ways. And then Diana Taurasi in the WNBA, she played both in the WNBA and she was also playing in Russia. And in Russia, they pay you better. Well, they didn't like the fact that when she came from the WNBA season, she was kind of beat up and she needed some time. So essentially, they said, we'll pay you $200,000 and maybe more with incentives if you skip the WNBA season.
What?
And she did the math and said, well, let's see, the Phoenix Mercury and the WNBA were only paying me $110,000. So I double my salary to sit on my butt, and then I get to play in Russia, and you pay me again. I think I'll do that.
Yeah, I think I would do that too.
So she,
good for her.
Yeah, so she collected. And some of the fun ones back in the day, Joe DiMaggio, 56-game hitting streak, longest in baseball history, as we all know. If it had gone one more.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. If it had gone one more, a certain company was offering him a large amount of money, especially back in that time, if he would have just let it go at 57. Heinz.
Oh,
and the
really?
Heinz 57 brand.
Yeah.
Said if he had gotten to 57, it was 10 grand.
And back then, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now I would laugh if they did that. But yeah. Okay.
And some of the other ones I did not know, like Raleigh Fingers, known for the handlebar mustache, Hall of Fame reliever. The A's originally came up with the idea to motivate other guys to grow facial hair for potential sponsors and incentives. As the story goes, Charlie Finley, the A's owner, took exception to Reggie Jackson reporting to training camp with a mustache. He didn't like it, but instead of forcing him to shave it, he came up with the idea of mustache night and offered Jackson's teammates $300 apiece to grow one, which Fingers took him up on, and then made it a handlebar look to make it unique, and got the A's to pay $100 worth of mustache wax per year. The ironic thing is at the end of his career as a free agent in 86, he was offered a contract with the Cincinnati Reds, but in order to play for the Reds, in case you don't know, you're not allowed to have facial hair. He would have had to shave it. He retired.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. The Yankees and the Reds are the two teams that still have a facial hair clause. If you remember Brian McCann last year for the Yankees, he was clean shaven.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Cool.
Yeah. And I also did not know the last one on this, which I had no idea of. There's a pro fast pitch softball team in Houston.
Yeah.
You knew that?
Yeah, yeah. One Sunday, Mike and I, this was back when Tyler was producing, but Mike and I went through the list.
Back in the good old days?
There's like 30 or 40 professional, quote, professional sports teams in Houston. Most people don't know about the rest. They're either pro or semi-pro. Yeah, so
there's a girl named Monica Abbott, pro softball player. Her incentives, up to $180,000 per year based on the attendance at games in which she played in, whether she played or not. So the Houston franchise of the National Pro Fast Pitch League, so-called the Houston Scrapyard Dogs, wanted this pitcher who already had played 9 years in the league to pitch for them. They lured her with a deal that
I
found a creative way.
Oh,
really? I was going to say, I don't know where they played.
Yeah, I think it's out of the Woodlands.
So the yearly salary for a softball player is $150,000. Nice work.
Damn.
Is it really that high?
That's what it says. The league's yearly $150,000 salary cap per team. Oh, that's per team.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, so per team, $150,000. But for the 2016 season, she was to receive a base salary of $20,000 and a bonus of $20,000 for every time her team played in front of at least 100 fans, home and road, regardless of whether she played or not, with the initiatives capped at $180,000. In 2016, she received 8 such bonuses and the maximum $180,000 to play fast pitch softball.
Pretty nice.
Good work if you can get it.
I'm telling you what, man. That's and they don't play that many games either.
But they say if the incentives are matched over her 6-year deal, she'll make a mil playing softball.
That's crazy.
You can say that again.
Business.
Tell me about it. Well, if you're making a lot of money, or even if you're not, but you've got a car somewhere on your property that you've been wanting to get rid of and you just haven't gotten around to it, I got an idea for you. The Houston Cans Cars for Kids program will take that clunker, whether it's working or not, if it's just collecting rust and dust, off your hands and make sure they take care of you with a tax deduction. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, a $50 gift card, and then they'll turn it into resources to help kids in the Houston area get a second chance at an education. It's a great program, and it's only because of donations from people like you. You call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Let them know where you live. Let them know what you got. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They fill out the paperwork. They give you that tax deduction. You mention the ESPN 97.5. On top of it, you get the $50 gift card, and then your contributions really start making a difference because they turn that donation into resources so kids can get book money, hot meals, eyeglasses, bus fare to kind of eliminate some of the distractions so they can just focus on the books and get an education. It's a great program, and like I told you, it's only because of you. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're at the midway point, halfway gone, halfway still to go as we continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, the HR&P listener line where you can call and text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. I'd mentioned this earlier, just want to get it out of the way to clear the books, but the largest amount of money in the history of secondary ticket marketplaces through the NBA was just closed for a sale of 2 courtside seats for tonight's game. Want to gander at the price, Nicholas?
I'll take a shot. I'll say $7,000 a piece.
Okay, nice guess. Not even close on low side.
Oh, Barry, that's on the low side?
Yeah, Barry,
you, Barry, you want to take a shot?
He already knows.
I already know.
Oh, okay.
I saw something on this already.
Person just paid $133,000, including $17,000 in fees, for 2 floor seats to Game 5 of the NBA Finals. That is an NBA record sale on their secondary marketplace.
I was only $60,000, $70,000 off? That was kind of close. I don't know what you guys were talking about.
How are you doing your math?
What?
I was real close.
You said seven grand.
Yeah.
Well, you said seven two grand tickets?
A ticket, so that's 14, and you said you're only 60 or 70
off? No, I said
off.
60 or 70 grand off. You said it's 130 for 2 tickets?
You're 133 for 2.
So it's what? A little over 60 grand a ticket, correct? Like 70 grand a ticket?
A lot over 60
grand. No, like 65 grand a ticket. Right, 63 grand.
You guys are fighting over math.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to make me look dumb about my numbers, and he's wrong.
No, I'm not.
It's 65 grand a ticket, so I'm about $60,000 off, right? Roughly, give or take.
Okay, close enough.
Yeah. You're making a big deal out of nothing.
It's not really, but it's okay.
You guys, I feel like, Mom, Dad, don't fight. Please, just uh-oh, my sound was up. My bad.
See what you did there?
That's what I
did. See what you did there?
A couple of house cleaning things from the text line.
Okay.
Someone said, watch the show Into the Badlands. You won't regret it, because we were talking about, I was watching House of Cards. Mm-hmm. I have watched Into the Badlands. I'm one season in. And yes, the fighting is good. It's a little Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon-ish? Mm-hmm. You know, like there's flying a little bit while they're fighting. It's not bad, but I don't know if it's the writing or the acting, but one of them is a little corny. I think it's the writing. I think the actors are doing the best they can. Some of the stuff that takes place is kind of corny, some of the lines, but it's overall, it's not bad. I'll keep watching it. There's another season that I have to that's out that I haven't seen yet, so I'll watch it. Also, somebody asked, can they get a shout out for the Deer Park Deer? They won the 6A state title this past weekend, so good for them. Shout out to the Deer Park Deer. Go Deer!
In baseball, yeah.
It's called Go Big Deer, is what they said. I don't know why we would go Big Deer, but just go Deer.
Okay. Yeah. Fear the Deer? I don't know.
Okay.
All right, and their softball team, their ladies softball team, also went to state. So I don't know if they won it or not, but that's a pretty good year for Deer Park.
Not too shabby. Somebody had the question, does the same NFL concept of draft the best player available apply in the MLB draft, or should you draft for team needs? Also, what do you think the Astros should draft today?
It's a big night tonight that people don't realize. The amateur draft tonight. If you watched the Astros game at all yesterday,
yep.
They spent the entire telecast dealing with different angles. And the numbers that they brought up were just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, the stuff that these kids are getting paid now.
Well, but also...
Serious amounts of money.
They said for all the high school baseball players that aspirations of playing college, 7% of high school baseball players play college, 2.1% end up playing pro.
I saw something like that about the NFL, too, where they were talking about, like, you know, there's my buddy Derek Jonkins, he's a trainer. And he was talking about that, and it's like, there's 100,000 football players, and then by the time you get all the way down through the math, in high school, and this many will play in college, and this, by the time you get down to the NFL, it was like 0.03% of the kids playing football now in high school will make it to the NFL. 0.03%. And his point to his athletes was, stay in school, like get your degree. Use this as an opportunity to get a degree, because only 0.03 of you are even going to make it in the NFL. And of that, like, I think... like so many of those weren't even starters. So
well, then they
stay in school.
Then
kids.
They were trying to apologize for bursting the bubble of all these baseball players saying that you have no chance. Then they bring Berkman on, and Berkman and Blummer goes, so Lance, when you were getting offers, you know, out of high school, and he goes, I didn't get any offers, and I wasn't drafted out of high school. I only had two college offers. One was Memphis, and I didn't even know they had a baseball program. And thankfully, the other was Rice.
Wow.
So then when he got drafted after playing at Rice, he found out when he was at the College World Series, and he said, yeah, I'm sitting in my hotel room, and there was no such thing as social media like it was today, but I had one uncle that was pretty savvy on this kind of stuff, and he jerry-rigged a way to figure out how the draft was going, and I didn't get a call from the Astros. I got a call from my uncle to tell me the Astros had drafted me, and my first response was, but they got Jeff Bagwell. Where am I going to play?
Yeah.
I think it worked out okay.
Yeah, not too shabby. But to answer the question from the text line,
right.
I mean, do you have thoughts on, he asked about the draft, like NFL versus MLB?
Different. It's sometimes more of a crapshoot. Obviously, the high picks, and everybody will go to Mark Appel versus Bryant and some of the mistakes. But at the same time, the Astros Brain Trust was on yesterday, and they were talking about the fact that they won't try and say that there's a need or a position. Because as you're filling the farm systems, you just take the best players possible and you can find a way. Obviously, Alex Bregman came in as a shortstop and they found a need at third base. But he said later in the rounds, they'll do more of a – they know what their minor league system's like and where they need for the teams to fill spots. But it's definitely – I think it's more of a crapshoot. Baseball is more of a crapshoot than the other two. But I don't think it's an exact science anymore, simply because all these kids coming out early in the NBA has made it all being drafted on potential, let alone you're not going to get a LeBron every time with a lottery pick. Like, you used to be pretty assured if you had a lottery pick, you'd probably have an all-star on your hands or at least a really good contributing player, and now you can't be that sure.
Yeah, I think as of late, because they were showing, like, you know, the 2012 draft, because usually when you're looking at the baseball draft, it takes about 5 years to realize the potential of the players you drafted. So that the fact that they're drafting right now, you won't see or hear from a lot of these guys for at least 5 years. So it's sometimes can be difficult for a team to predict need at a position because it depends on how far you are away. Like at catcher, we know that there's not a 5-year window at catcher for this team. So they have a specific need at catcher. They have a need at first base. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to draft based on that need. A lot of that depends on how early in the draft are you drafting in the first round. If, like, the Twins have the first pick in the draft, they're not going to draft on need. They're going to draft the best player in baseball that they think is available. The Reds are going to draft Hunter Green. That kid, can he can play shortstop? Oh, and by the way, he's a pitcher that throws 100 miles an hour. It's a crazy story. If you need, go look up Hunter Green. That dude is insane. But the Astros, yeah, they need catcher. They need first base. To me, that's the two positions they need to fill. Your infield is pretty much set. If you think about it, you've got Bregman, Correa, and Altuve. The next 5 years, you don't need a guy at any of those three positions. You need a catcher. And you always need outfielders and pitching. So you can never have enough pitching. But I think what you might see is the Astros will probably go out and draft a first baseman with this first pick in the draft. It's a spot that they really need to get nailed down. Catcher, they're okay. Gattis can give you a few more years, but somebody like an Evan White, check him out. He plays for Kentucky. That might be a guy that falls within that range. You might see him go, but to the Astros in the first round. So that's about all I know.
The only thing I also throw in there too is Minnesota, and like the Astros of a couple years ago. Money's going to factor in, too.
One
guy wants a whole lot more than the other, they're going to look to save. Like, Correa supposedly had a deal on the table that if they had a number in mind and if he took it, that they'd make him the first pick overall.
Yeah. So that I think some of it, though, I think there's some, you're right, there is some issues with the... Because that's when, there's guys that get redrafted because of they can't make the money work. Yeah.
Did I mention Mark Appel? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so we got plenty more show to get to. Donald, we see you. You want to talk Astros, we'll get to you as well. So stick with us, and also feel free to join 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel, till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're very angry, aren't you?
No.
At your laptop?
Oh, I am, yeah.
I figured you were. He's in here. He's just like, damn it. Damn it. He's just screaming at it.
Is it your internet? You guys don't have any problems with your internet up
No,
here?
Not a bit. I think you got some porn. You got that Barry Warner porn.
Oh, I didn't issue say going.
Hey, shush your mouth.
I didn't say anything, Nick.
Shush your mouth.
What, I wasn't supposed to say anything about you finding porn on his laptop?
Wow.
He's mad now.
Don't
now
you ever bring that to me again.
See, Joel he made me mad in the last segment. Now you're making me mad.
Why? What's the big deal?
Because Joel's sitting here trying to insult me with the numbers.
I wasn't insulting you. Well, I thought you meant
his numbers
total
were
60,
complete.
Off.
Okay, so what was the number for the price for the tooth? Let's go through this, Mr. Milwaukee Education.
Went through it. Milwaukee Education.
Or whatever Wisconsin rugby or Wisconsin lacrosse, whatever crap school you went to.
Wait a minute, did you just say Wisconsin rugby?
Yeah, now I'm a rugby.
Yeah. Instead of Wisconsin lacrosse?
The price of two tickets was $134,000.
Their sister school, Wisconsin curling?
Whatever.
Joe's like, whatever, Barry.
So two tickets is $134,000.
We already went through this.
How much is each ticket again, Joel, just out of curiosity?
Right. You said
$67,000.
Right,
I said $7,000. So I said I was $60,000 to $70,000 off. How was I wrong? Just out of curiosity.
Barry's just enjoying the hell out of this.
Yeah.
At first, when you said it,
And Barry
gave
was
you
the one. He was
going to
pile on
tickets,
without even knowing the number.
Yeah, and you said it was $60,000 off.
I wasn't going to pile on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are making this weird for the family.
Yeah. Trying not to.
I feel like...
So the reason why I was pissed off about my internet coming up, not coming up, because to wrap up the draft conversation, there was a guy that got the win yesterday for the Angels against the Astros named Keenan Middleton.
Uh-huh.
He was a basketball player from Lane College. Because he's 6'2", they converted him into a baseball player. And oddly enough, he was the first person from his draft class to make the big leagues. So to your point about it taking 4 to 5 years from, I believe he was drafted in 2013, and again, I couldn't look it up because of the internet, but I believe they said on the broadcast 2013 and took him almost four.
Yeah. And it's an average. Their guys, Correa made it faster, I think. Was it, what year was Correa? No, I think he was 2012. In fact, I saw this thing on the MLB. Let me pull up these pictures, because this one draft class was ridiculous. Where'd it go? Oh, damn it. I've lost it now. Did I delete them? Yeah, I think it was the 2012 draft. It was nuts, though.
All the guys that were drafted?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This was the 2007, excuse me, notable 2007 draft class. And this was just in the first, yeah, with round selected. So David Price, first round, Madison Bumgarner, first round, Jason Hayward, Rick Porcello, Todd Frazier, Josh Donaldson, all in the first round of the 2007 draft. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And there was more. Yeah, there was more that I think I deleted the damn picture. But yeah, that draft class was ridiculous as far as being loaded. Just those names right there, you'd think, well, that would make for a pretty good draft class.
And he was drafted in 2013.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, and it's, I mean, somebody had commented, I think Josh Rapp had commented that, yeah, there's this accelerated timetable. Yeah, I think when you start getting drafting guys in the first round, teams are expecting them to be ready a little sooner.
Yep.
It's not always going to happen. And you don't want to rush guys to the big leagues. I found it interesting, too. Today I was watching because I was talking about that kid Green out of Notre Dame High School who he can throw 100.
Yeah.
And he plays shortstop. He pitches and he can throw 100 and he plays shortstop. And Peter Gammons was talking about the fact that most teams, believe it or not, shy away from a kid that can throw 100. And the reason is because they worry about injuries. Mm-hmm. And they worry about effectiveness, because if that kid's throwing 100 in high school, and like this Green kid is, then he looks a lot better, because obviously kids in high school can't hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And especially when you hit them with the curveball or changeup or something like that, where you're changing speeds by 15 or 20 miles, that can make a big difference to a high school kid who can't even catch up with a 100-mile-an-hour heater to begin with. You get to the big leagues, that's not as big of a deal to a big leaguer. I mean, you're used to seeing a fastball, you know, mid to upper 90s anyways by some pitchers. So I think it scares a lot of teams, and that surprised me. They'd rather get a kid that, you know, maybe is pitching in the low 90s to mid 90s, beef him up, you know, put him on a workout regimen, and then let his velocity increase throughout his minor league career.
That was the other interesting thing yesterday, was when they went from the hitter's perspective. Blummer and Berkman were talking about getting drafted versus not getting drafted and how long it takes. They had Bud Black, the pitching coach, or Charles Nagy, I'm sorry, the pitching coach for the Angels, who was actually open enough to talk to the Astros people about when is it time to start throwing a curveball. And when is it, you know, and what's the appropriate age? Because they used to say you can never throw it in Little League and you can't. And McCullers said he didn't start throwing a curveball till his junior year in high school.
Yeah.
And that's crazy a guy whose dad was a Major League Baseball player. But other guys have rubber arms and they throw it when they're 10 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I wouldn't have kids throwing a curveball at 10. I just wouldn't.
Well, and you know, and you can also take the flip side and look for every Jabba Chamberlain in Strasburg where they are on an innings count and they're making sure that they're, you know, taking care of both guys have had arm problems. Jabba Chamberlain's had Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter how much you try and be careful. If a guy's arm is not going to last, it's not going to last. You're still putting a lot of punishment with curveballs and all the pitches that guys are throwing these days on the elbow and the rotator cuff.
Yeah, not good.
So we got two in the books, one to go, 1 hour more of the show. We still got Donald wants to talk about some Astros. If there's something on your mind that you want to kick around, 713-780-ESPN, and we will check the text messages, the phone calls, and also you can hit us on Twitter. We are the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.